everyone. Welcome to True Vine Worship Center. We're glad that you're here. Stand to your feet. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on. Let's just start at the top. Amen. Start from the beginning. Hallelujah. We're glad that you're here. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad to see you this morning. We have some visitors. You are welcome. The first time you get here, you may feel like a visitor, but let me tell you, you're just family. And so we welcome you to True Vine this morning. On my way to church this morning, I always go pick up John Michael. And so he was playing an old tape from YouTube of Tony preaching. And it was the writing of ordinances was against you. And he nailed it to the cross. So this morning, any ordinance that was against you has been nailed to the cross. So you can come with a free heart this morning, a clear mind, and know that you have been forgiven, that you have been loved, that you are loved, that you have been forgiven, that you have a clean slate this morning. And if no other reason, that's a reason to let go and worship this morning. Is that right? So let's just do that. Let's just let go and let God this morning. Let's worship Him with every part of our being. From the top to the bottom, raise your hands, stomp your feet, cry unto the Lord, make a joyful noise, whatever it is this morning. Let's worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's our Savior. Amen. Let's go.
When the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, there's no telling what you're liable to do. No telling what you're liable to do. Might get fired up. Might get free. But if you broke cold water, don't pour that water on me. I got the Holy Ghost. I'm burning up. I got the Holy Ghost. And I'm burning up. I got the Holy Ghost. I'm burning up. I got the Holy Ghost. Well, it's getting wild, this upper room. You know what? Oh, it's a different you. Don't run out. You can get him free. But I'll get him from you, so you can't take it from me. I got the Holy Ghost. I'm burning up. Come on, you have the Holy Ghost.
I got the Holy Ghost. I'm burning up.
Yeah,
I got the Holy Ghost. Burning up. I got the Holy, Holy Ghost.
I'm burning up. I've got the Holy Ghost. I'm burning up.
burning up. I got the Holy Ghost, and I'm burning up.
Come on if you're full of this Holy Spirit, shout yeah! Come on if you feel His presence in this place this morning. Don't wait, shout yeah! Are you burning up this morning? Are you burning up? Is your fire lit this morning? Do you need somebody to light your fire? You got the Holy Ghost. You burning up. The Holy Ghost will help you burn up some things that shouldn't be in your life. And because of that, you can sing a new song. How many got a new song today? Worship with us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. And what's funny about hallelujah is this next song is called My Hallelujah. But in this next song, it talks about nothing can take my hallelujah. And you know, sometimes you get into those places where you don't know what else to pray and you don't know what words to say to convey how you feel, right? And sometimes all you can just think is, God, you are good, and just hallelujah. And that's kind of what this is saying. Nothing can take that from you. Nothing. No powers, no principalities. Nothing can take that from you. Because when it comes to the end of the day, your voice and even your just utterances, God understands each and every one of those. And nothing can take that away from you. So just continue to worship with us.
Remind my heart, Lord, in
no darkness can contain. We serve a God where it doesn't matter what's going on. He shines through the darkness. He can pierce anything that's going on in your life. He can come in just one moment and transform that situation. That is the kind of God that we serve. Amen. 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 I really want to encourage you guys as we move through the rest of this service. I feel like we're right on the edge of something, pushing through to God, to what God wants to do in this place this morning. And I just want to encourage you guys to press in as we continue in worship. He is here. He is here, and He is ready to meet you where you're at. No matter how you came in, what might have been keeping you down from the week or whatever, He is here. He is here, and He is ready to pour out His goodness and His blessings upon the people in this place. Amen. Amen.
Who thought I'd find you at the lowest place? And who thought you'd feel me in the crowd? And who knew you'd make good of my mistakes? You're nothing like I thought you were. You're better. What a God, what a God.
worship in the Lord, and I was telling them earlier in practice, I start bawling. This song makes me cry, but I feel like there's a press, like we need to press on in. And when I hear this song, it means a little bit something different to me, because when you have a testimony of a time when God showed up and you can say, what a God. It's a different meaning, Christian, to say, what a God, what a God. But when you say, what a God, what a God. And there's a part of it that said, if one word is the only thing you speak. I've heard it all. And oh, Jesus, help me. This week we celebrated 3 years that Abigail was saved from death. Not to put you on the spot, baby. I just have to. And I remember during that time, Josh called me, and I didn't even recognize his voice when he called. He was real, was right in the moment of it. And we were at the hospital, and the next morning, he's like, can you please get me an energy drink on your way? I'm like, sure, glad to. And Dino takes me to 3 different stores, and I'm like, God, I don't have time to hear anything but one word. It's yours. And I need you to speak to me, and I'm going to be strong for this family, but I need to know that she will live and she will not die. Because you've heard the story here and there, but she wasn't supposed to be here. And I went to 3 stores, and the 3rd store we pull out, and we had to stop, and I look up, and there's a sign, Abby's better. What a God. You know, sometimes you need something in the natural to understand what the Holy Spirit is trying to say. And he's so kind and amazing that he'll give you something on your level. And I said, that's all I needed. And I sent Josh a text. It showed up on my feed this week. And it said, Abby's better. And from that moment, it was one word he spoke. And I was not going to waver. I knew that she was going to be made perfect. I knew that she was going to be made healthy and whole and back to her original state and greater. Well, that's not the only thing. I went through a season in my own life when the Lord gave me one word. I will make all things new. Write it down, Holly. These words are trustworthy and true. It was one word. All you need, no matter what the enemy comes at you with, is one word, one promise. If you'll choose to hang on to it, you will see him fulfill his promises. And then I didn't want any more children, but God saw fit that I had my wonderful, perfect, beautiful son, Judah. And they told me that he has spina bifida. And every time I went to the doctor, they tried to speak something on me because I'm older in age and had a child. But there was one word God said. No, he doesn't. He's perfect, healthy, and whole. And all I needed was one word. One, what a God. What a God that he would give me a word that I could take a hold of and say, you are a liar, devil. You will not have my Abigail. You will not have my children. You will not have my marriage. You will not have my son. What a God.
Treasure of his life, whose ever sign is mine, God, you are.
he's ever done anything for you in this place. Can we just shout? Can we take 10 seconds and just give him glory for showing up, for being a mighty, worthy God? He's worthy to be praised in this place. I want you to muster up a high praise. Oh, you're worthy, God. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
The last. Jesus be the name. Come on, he's the one that's worthy. Give him some praise. Come on, bless his name in this place. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. He's worthy. Worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Who in here loves Jesus the most? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Come on, put your hands together one more time and bless the Lord of this place. He's worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just right now in this moment, we just thank you that all that have come in here struggling with whatever it is, Lord. And we believe that in your presence, all things are done. And so, Father, right now, as we have entered into your presence with thanksgiving and your courts with praise, I thank you that right now, those that have come in with sickness in their bodies receive the healing that was paid for in the life of your Son back at Calvary. I thank you for those that have come in here needing salvation, Lord, that have never surrendered to the knowledge of Lord and Savior Jesus, that today would be the day that they come down and say, I want Jesus not just to be my Savior, but to be my Lord. Father, for those that have come in with broken hearts or whatever their infirmities might be, we believe for every problem, God always gives a promise, and we receive that this morning. Is anybody else in this place grateful for the Lord right now being in this place? Thank you, Jesus. 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 Bethany, come over here real quick, sweetheart. Bethany. The doctors had some news yesterday, but I got better news today. Healing is the children's bread. Jesus is the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. With his stripes we were healed, and by whose stripes we are healed. In Jesus' name, let the healing virtue of the resurrected Christ go into every cell and molecule of her body right now in Jesus' name. In the same way he was a liar about this one, he's a liar about that one. In the same way Jesus was the healer for this one, he's the healer for that one. Come on, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Give him some glory for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It hits you different whenever, hits you different when your baby's suffering, when the doctor says something about your child. But for every problem, God always gives a promise. Come on, somebody. For every problem, God always gives a promise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, team. I appreciate it. Good job. Good job. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to see you this morning. How's everyone doing? Doing great. That's the way we need to hear it. Hope you're all doing great. And it's our pleasure to have you back at True Vine Worship Center. I neglected last week to mention, not only do we have one state champion coach, but we have two. And Robin Clanton is also right there. She's a state champion coach, and I forgot her last week, and I did not mean to do that. So, and I'm pretty sure there was somebody this week that that turned 15. Do y'all know anybody that might have turned 15 this week? Yeah. I don't know. I'll tell you a story about this little one. Come up here, Ava. Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, come up here, Ava. I met Ava because I was her soccer coach when she was about 5 or 6 or 7, whatever she was. And her sister was also on my team, and her sister was a juggernaut. She was the best defensive player maybe that I've ever had. And she played defense. And Ava, she was just kind of there and whatever. And I didn't really know her that well. She was standing over to the left of me on the field, and I looked over. I was going to sub her into the game. And I said, Ava, she's over just kind of playing the flowers. She's just in her own world. I said, Ava, come on, I'll put you in. And she looked at me and said, don't you want to go in the game? She said, nah, I'll just stay over here and help you coach. Happy birthday to Miss Ava Lane. She's 15. Can you believe it? I still hadn't got those coaching lessons from you, but we'll get to that at some point, I'm sure. Thank you, Jesus. Let's receive this morning's tithe and offering. Could we do that? Thank you for the opportunity to give. And what we give is not a debt that we owe, but a seed we sow. And we know that good seed sown into good soil brings good fruit. And the church said,
amen.
Come up to the front if you would. Place your gifts there in the basket. Or you can follow the screen for a way to give. 855-416-9943. TVWC.churchcenter.com/giving or at our website. If you haven't subscribed to our YouTube pages, please do so. We've got one that's just True Vine Worship Center. You can follow our logos there, and we upload our services there. Everything's free. You can subscribe to know when new videos are uploaded. Also, we have our True Vine Legacy page that has 50 or 60 or 70 videos of the history of True Vine Worship Center going back almost 50 years. Almost 50 years now worth of videos there. So avail yourself to those things, and they're free resources. We don't sell those. We just want you to be blessed. So, all right. Babies, Judah, you going to help me today? You going to help me? You want to get the well? Here, here's some money. Joanne, do you want to help? Joanne, come help me. You want to push it over here? Yeah, she's got it. She's got it. Yes. Is that better? All right. Oh, it's getting heavy. Come on, bring it all the way over here to the middle, Joanne. Doesn't she look so pretty today? Oh, that's so sweet to help, Cabrin. All right, two little elves look like the Ark of the Covenant with cherubim facing each other. Babies, come on up and bring your gifts there. You can put pennies or your quarters or dollars or whatever it is that you got this morning. There's one right there. Somebody dropped a penny or a dime. You see it? Right there. Hazel. Jude's going to slide it all in. Oh, wow. This guy's a good usher right here. He brought about three or four offerings. Get his name and social. Let's get this guy on staff. Jackson. All right, Logan, do you want to push it back over there for me? Back over around the corner? Just put it over there next to that speaker. It'll be okay. No. The well. You can put the money in the well. There you go. All right. Children's church and nursery, you guys can be dismissed. If you're visiting, we have children's church. Is this sounding okay? We good? A through five. Nursery from baby all the way up to pre-K. Thank you, Jesus. We do have some visitors today. If you see a visitor beside you, would you just turn and make them welcome? Turn and make them welcome. I've seen four or five or six today. There might be more. Just turn and make sure that they feel welcome. Here at True Vine, we're all family by the blood of Jesus. And a lot of us just by normal blood. Amen. Oh, no. See, they don't want to leave the presence of the Lord. They're fighting to stay in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Could I get a water? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. All right. Everybody doing well this morning?
Yeah.
I'm going to continue the series on offense today. And I know it's a touchy subject. And the reason that it's a touchy subject, because it touches all of us. Jesus would even go on to say, it's impossible that offenses won't come. They're going to come. I said this last week, and I feel like I always have to preface this type of preaching that's more exhortation and correction with, promise you it's for your good. Thank you, son. It's for your good. And it's going to be good, and we're going to shout at it. Because what if every promise that God ever made you and every blessing that God would like to get to your life, what if it was already right there at your hands, and the only thing keeping you from grasping and getting to it is offense? We talked about it last week. The Greek word for offense is scandalon. It's ultimately where we get our word scandal. And the scandal scandalon is not that God didn't answer your prayer. It's that he did answer it, but you never got to it because you got ensnared by the spirit of offense. Not spirit. I don't know if it's a spirit, but it is a trap. It's never called the spirit in the scripture. I've heard a lot of people preach on the spirit of offense. Well, the problem with it is it's not a spirit. It's a trap. But it's used by the enemy to try to stop you from getting to God's best for your life. You can still die and go to heaven. You can still not have to worry about hell and all the good stuff and still live defeated every day in this life if you live and walk move in offense. But I believe, and I'm declaring, that we're coming to a place where the scripture says that all of the earth groans and travails and waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. And if you read all that through weos, it's not just sons of God, but fully mature sons. Because when you become fully mature, you become fully mature, and you grow up in him in all things, then you're not going to take the bait of offense. It's still going to present itself, but you're not going to take it. And it's all of the earth groaning and travailing and waiting for that. For that moment that we say, I refuse to eat from that table. I refuse to ensnare myself in offense. I refuse to be a part of the God. I refuse because he said, this one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind and looking into that which lies ahead, I press. And you can't press towards what God has for you if every time you take a step, you find yourself ensnared in the trap of offense, in the trap of scandalon. So offense builds offense. Last week I had a four-walled fence up here. And that's what it does. It's if you can imagine one of those traps with and a little stick that holds the box up. The offense is not the trap. It's the thing that gets you to take the bait. But then once you're there, the trap becomes most of the time bitterness. And we're going to talk about the sort of what that escalates to and how it keeps from his promises today. The table of abundance was never removed. Remember, we saw that last week. Offense simply blocked the doorway. The enemy doesn't have to steal your blessing if he can make you refuse to reach for it. The enemy's already decided he can't do anything about God. God doesn't have an enemy. How could he have an enemy? How could he have an enemy? The enemy hates God. I don't mean that. But what I mean is, how could anyone challenge he that is all powerful? There is no such thing as this equal opposite evil of Jesus, his Father and Holy Spirit, which is all good. No, he has the keys of hell. Every spirit submits unto him. He's got all authority. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and in earth and beneath the earth, all of it's been given unto me. So that must mean if God has it all, if Jesus has received it all by inheritance, the enemy has none. So he can't stop God. So he's turned his focus on us. And I hate to say it, he's doing a pretty good job because we have every opportunity at every scroll and post to receive of the trap of offense. And I hate to say it, but it seems that even church people in Christendom, we take the more than we don't. Look around at the people that should be here hearing this. Now, I know there are people working and not, but look at the round of people that should be here, and they probably knew I was going to preach on offense. I'm not going to go there today. It's funny, but it's also true. Nobody likes to talk about this thing because nobody likes to correct stuff, but a good father and a good family sets the order of the house, and he corrects things when they need to be corrected. And as long as the Lord has given me the leadership and shepherdhood of this house, this is what's got to happen. Amen. I didn't expect a whole lot of amens on that one. A heart trapped behind a fence will never feast at his table. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's going to be a good one. The less response I get, the longer I preach. So buckle up. This week, I want to focus on what happens to us when a fence hardens. And it's no longer just a fence, but it becomes bitterness. And how grace can turn that into something better. You thought I was going to be mean today. No, no, no. Here's the title, offense, and here's the subtitle, better, not bitter. Come on, somebody. Say, God, I'm going to be better. I'm not going to be bitter. I refuse to allow a root of bitterness to anchor me into nothingness. I refuse to allow bitterness to enter into my heart where I can't receive everything that God wants for me. And so somebody say with me, better, not bitter. I'm going to be better, not bitter. And I'm not talking about a works of righteousness. I'm talking about the work of faith, which says, I know if I partake of the trap, then I don't get to partake of the table. Because the table is set, I refuse the trap. Jesus talked about or taught about offense at least on 14 separate occasions, and as many as 20 if you count the synoptic stories in the synoptic gospels. 20 times he talks about offense. Looks to me like it's probably something we ought to look at more than we do. It looks to me like he knew the enemy's not going to stop me. He knows better. He tried. I mean, the enemy learned 40 days in the wilderness. Jesus ain't bowing that knee. And he took the weapon of his word and turned the enemy away, which is the same thing we should learn to do. We're going to learn about it some today. He said, remember the first two times Jesus was tempted, he said, it is written. And then again, it is written. But the last time he said, it is said. And it was the preceding word from his father that flowed out of his mouth that caused the enemy to retreat. So I have more than just the written word, and thank God for it. You better have a preceding word by the Holy Spirit that says, I will not partake of that. Thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 17 says this. This is 17 verse 1. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. It is inevitable that offense will come and cause people to stumble, but great sorrow awaits the one who intentionally causes them to fall. Across the Gospels, Jesus shows how offense divides the very thing that God has tried to join. It's rare, now you can do it on social media, but it's very, very rare that you can be offended by someone that you don't care about or know or ever see or hear from. It's always those that are close to you or those that you're in close proximity. You may not be close to in relationship, but close to in proximity. And the enemy has learned a secret that he can use that tool called social media and programming on television, and if he can divide, I mean, you get offended. It doesn't take long to be offended. How many times have you jumped on a social media post to prove your point against somebody that's probably in North Dakota that's never heard your name? You're laughing because you've done it. I have typed it out, and the Holy Spirit said, what are you doing? That doesn't represent me, and I'd have to erase it like, I'm sorry, Lord. Or delete it. Because you want to respond. It's a trap, and the enemy is a perfectionist when it comes to setting us up for the trap. Amen. Across the Gospels, Jesus shows us how offense divides what God has joined. It turns disciples defensive instead of discerning. Instead of discerning, I'm talking to me too. I'm talking to me too. I put a mirror back there on the back so I can see myself. It causes us to become defensive. And anybody that resorts to becoming defensive, anytime something is brought up, it is a sure sign of unhealed trauma. If you're offended at every little thing that somebody says or every little thing that somebody does or whatever, and you're offended at, it is this is why I want to help you. It's not me saying, you stink because you're offended. No, it's me saying, you may not recognize, but you have unhealed trauma there. And if we can take care of, see, what we do in churches, a lot of times we lop off limbs. And they're like, oh, man, that was better. And then by 3 or 4 weeks later, the limb has grown back. And like, what happened? I thought it was taken care of. Because you never got to the root. The root is probably unhealed trauma. We try to get after the limbs, and we lop those off. We got this fixed and this one fixed and that one cut and that one cut. But the next thing we know, they've grown back. And we're right back where we started with no prayers being answered. We don't feel the fire of the Holy Spirit again. And we've got to run to church and beg the worship team to get us back in His presence so we can start over again. Am I talking to anybody besides me? It's because we spent our lives lopping off branches instead of getting to the root. Offense turns disciples defensive instead of discerning. Jesus, when he talked about offense in Luke 17:1, he was not talking about unbelievers. He was preaching to his followers. So let's just take the first simple, basic, obvious point there. So stop jumping on social media to prove your biblical point to people that may not even be a follower of him. I can promise you, John Mayer prophesied it. He said, has anybody ever changed their mind from the paint on the sign? Everyone believes what they say. It's a beautiful song. I'm like, man, this guy, I don't think he knows how prophetic that song is. Everyone believes that. And he said, as long as you do what you think you believe, then you got mamas having to bury their children, all the other stuff. Everybody believes it. But Jesus wasn't talking to non-believers. He was talking to followers. And he said, it is impossible, but that offenses are going to come. They're going to come, but woe unto them by which they come. Let me get back into it. Jesus knew the temperature of love would be measured by the frequency of us being trapped in offense. The colder the love, the quicker the offense. You know how you get to love more? Does anybody know? Jesus told us. Well, that's a process of no. He that is forgiven of much loveth much. And you can always tell those that are easily offended because they really don't know how loved they are. If you know how loved you are, It's because you know how much love you need. And when you know that you know how much love and grace and mercy you need, it makes me realize, man, I live in a glass house. I ain't got time to throw stones, because every time that I'm taking and throwing a stone at somebody else, I'm exposing myself for a stone to be thrown back at me. And the enemy knows this, and he uses these weapons of media. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. He is that. And so he understands how to use media, and so have hurling stones at each other instead of taking those stones and building the wall like we talked about in the last series. We're taking them and throwing them at each other, and nothing gets accomplished. The colder the love, the quicker the offense, but the warmer the heart, the slower will be to anger. Let me ask you something. If you happen to be just off the cuff, you're at a ball game. If you're at a ball game and a little kid that you might describe not being a well-behaved kid, call him whatever you want to call him, goes and throws a Coke in your face, you're probably gonna want to have out with that little kid. If you're anything like me, that kid and that kid's parents are gonna have a conversation, and neither one of them are gonna like it. But if your own child does it, and they're tripping for a step, and they spill Pepsi or they spill Coke on you, you're not going to be as angry with your child, and you're going to, because it's your child. You're like, well, I know he didn't mean to do it, but that other little brat meant to do it. In the same way, the Father offers us grace, we should offer grace to others, because I promise, at the root of every offense is trauma. Okay, let me move on, because I don't want to be before you all day. That's why spiritual maturity is not proven by gifting. Listen to me, stagers, and those that want to be up here. Spiritual maturity is not proved by gifting. It's proven by how hard it is to offend you. You want to operate God's kingdom? Here's a qualifier. If you're easily offended, you got work to do. And that's okay. I'm going to help you get there. But if you're easily offended, you have no business in front of people. Period. And the more you love and the harder it is to offend you, the more God wants to partner with you and can partner with you, because God's not looking so much for ability as availability. But if you're so tied up and being offended at everybody, there's no ability, there's no availability for God to say, wait a minute, I can take that and use that. It's when we humble ourselves and say, you know what? The mark of true discipleship is humility. Every time offense comes, heaven gives you this choice: better or bitter. Luke 17 is, have you already heard me read this one time? I'm going to read about three or four scriptures. 17:1 says, it's inevitable that offenses are going to come. Matthew 24:10-12 says, many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another, and the love of many will grow cold. I mean, Jesus, this is the red word. This is Jesus saying this. You can count on it. It's going to happen. But woe unto those by who the offense, and I would say woe unto those that are always offended. Because you can die and go to heaven, but you ain't going to bring heaven to earth. And that's the kingdom mandate: thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Offense is unavoidable. It will happen, but being trapped and bound to offense is optional. It's optional. Nobody makes you get offended. Well, if you'd have seen what she said to me, you'd have been offended. No, it's your choice, and you choose every day. Or should I say it this way? Choose you this day and every day. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve your offense, or are you going to serve your purpose? Because if you're going to serve your offense, you're going to continue in that cycle. But if you begin to serve your purpose, you refuse to be offended. Oh, and I want to be very clear about this. When I say you'll have the opportunity, you're going to want. Somebody's going to say something that's going to irritate you. That's going to happen. Somebody is going to do something. They're going to take your parking spot at Walmart that you prayed in tongues for half an hour and got there, and there it is. God answered my prayer, and boom, right when you get ready to pull in, that demonic person took my... I know she don't hear from God, because you get offended. I mean, all you got to do is jump on Interstate 40 for 5 minutes, and you can see offense. Have you noticed that people in the passing zone and 70 miles an hour... And so you'll just stay behind them, like, okay, is this guy going to get over, you know, or you honk the horn or whatever, and they never get up. Then you pass them on the other side, and the moment they see you're trying to come around them, boom, suddenly they're Dale Earnhardt Jr. Like, bro, I'm not mad at you. I'm just trying to get where I'm going. And they're offended, and immediately, next thing you know, you're going down the road 90. Your wife's like, Josh, slow down. Oh, did I call myself out? Josh, gosh, slow down. What are you doing? The kids are in the car. And I'm looking at this guy like, yo, Carl, dude. Lord, whoop, 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 whoop. Oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. All took of offense. It is unoffensive, but being trapped and bound in it is optional. We live in a culture that's addicted to outrage. Have you noticed since 2016 the change in the culture in the United States politically? Starting about 15 or 16. I don't care who you voted for. Don't raise your hand. Neither one of them are Jesus. Jesus is Jesus alone. And whoever is president, Jesus is still king. Do your solemn duty or whatever. I'm fine with that. But I don't need to know about it. What I want to know is, do you believe that Jesus is Lord and of king to be no end? If you believe that, we're good. So I'm not talking political, but it's been so politically charged because the enemy knows I'm going to addict them to outrage. Here's the trick of it is, every person that gets outraged in the church, they believe that their cause is the righteous one. It don't matter what side you're on. Mine's the righteous cause. And they'll pick out scriptures and warp it to fit their political motive. Well, God built walls to defend us. Or, well, you're supposed to give to the needy and the poor. And they'll pick out scriptures. It's an ugly thing. That's what the serpent did in Genesis. Take a little bit of scripture, warp it just a little bit to fit his motive. And the outrage of that side. I can't believe these idiots. I wish you'd just ship everyone overseas in a different country. We'll have our own country. And the same thing on the other side. And before you know it, it's division, division, division. Rocks thrown, rocks thrown, rocks thrown. And guess what ain't happening? The rocks that should build the kingdom are being tumbling down. And nothing's getting built because we're outraged and we're offended at every. And why our churches have these ebbs and flows where now we're 250, now we're down to 100. And now Spirit, and now they're out, you know, drinking and partying, you know, whatever the thing is, because the rock of offense, the spirit of offense, the trap of offense. I think it's the biggest weapon the enemy's got. I genuinely believe it's the biggest weapon the enemy's got because it comes to us all. If somebody were to come up with a or whatever, and I'm between you and God, I'm not talking about that, but it offered it to me, it wouldn't bother me. The enemy knows that all of us have some sort of an addiction at some time to objection or offense. All of us. The powers that be feed us all a steady diet. And people mistake irritation for insight. And bitterness masquerades as discernment. Listen, but the fruit reveals the root. The fruit always reveals the root. If you want to know what the root of anything is, all you got to find is the fruit. And the fruit is not matching what's coming out of here. The question isn't if offense will come, it's what are you going to do when it does? Will you let it make you bitter or better? Here's the anatomy of the snare. Proverbs 18:19 from the New King James. Proverbs 18:19. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a castle. And one translation says the bars of a prison. Offended is harder to win than a city. And how many people in here, you don't have to raise your hand, has offended someone that's close to you? Whether you meant to or didn't mean to, you've offended them. We probably all have. And is it not almost the most difficult thing? You avoid the relationship. You avoid talking to them. You places they go, including church. And if you do, one of you sit and the others over there, and never the twain shall meet. You avoid the conversations, you avoid the people. So I've seen people even cut off friends of friends so that what they're posting doesn't get seen by the friend of a friend to offend the person. Because a brother offended is harder to win back than a city. Snare, the entrapment of offense, or a contentious relationship is like the bars of a prison. And we lock ourselves in. We never access his blessing. This is so corrective. I'm trying to be a blessing to you. Really, I'm trying to help you. Offense begins small. Now listen, a moment of hurt becomes resentment, which turns to bitterness, which ultimately becomes bondage. That's the progression if it's not dealt with. Hurt finds its root in unhealed trauma. And it's one of the things the church don't talk about a lot. You know, the church loves all the spirit stuff, and we love the natural stuff, giving and all that stuff, but we never talk about the soul realm or emotions or those things that actually, you know, we got so spiritual that we cast out mental health and emotional counselors. I'm doing my best with this, Mike. I'm sorry. We really are trying. It's going in and out. We don't talk about it anymore. Is everything spirit? No, everything's not spirit. Some things, just you got offended and you trapped yourself. Some things are you don't know when to be quiet and offend other people. Also a thing. That's all. People that have that spirit of ready, they seek their prey. They see their prey. They go in like predators and they'll say or things that they know are going to throw their brothers off. Woe unto you. Hurt can become resentment. If hurt is unhealed, ultimately, you'll resent the person, the relationship, the place, the fact that you ever hurt. So now I'm not just hurt, now I resent the person. And if you sit with that long enough, then you become bitter, and those are where the roots begin to take place. Root of bitterness. I told you, and I said it last week the wrong way, but the old saying is, I sat with my bitterness long enough until she told me her name was grief. All bitterness will find its root in some type of grief, some type of trauma. And what happens when we're hurt, if the hurt doesn't get healed, that's why I take so much time in the beginning of service. I don't care if I don't get up here till 12:30. I don't care if I never preach if God doesn't want that. What matters is that we create space and opportunity for encounter so that hurts can be healed, because once the hurt is healed, then we can begin to build you up in your most holy faith. It's no need to get up here and preach sermons when people are dying within and they have no healing and they're hurt and they're deeply hurt and they're wounded. And bitterness has trapped them and they don't get out. They need more than a sermon. The trap never kills instantly. It starves you slowly and over time. First time you get offended at somebody, it's like you're probably not even a big deal. Like, probably shouldn't have got it. The next time, it's more. And before you know it, it's easy to get offended. And the next thing you know, I resent that person. And the more that you rehearse and we all do it. Rehearse and recycle. We do it for the good and for the bad. And whatever you rehearse or recycle, you're going to get more of it. When the Bible says of Mary that the angel came to Mary and told her she was going to have the Messiah. And she said to me, according to your word. That's what you should do when someone gives you a word. Be it according to your word. When he said that, be it done unto me according to your word, the Bible says, and she pondered those things. She recycled them again and again and again in her mind. Again and again and again in her mind. And if you take some trauma or a hurt or the trap of offense for you, it will become resentment, ultimately bitterness, and bitterness will take a root, and bitterness will become bondage. Because once you root yourself, imagine the cage again. Remember, offense. Once you root yourself down to the cage of offense, then you're trapped there. And you can see other people, and that you can't get to your blessing because you've ensnared yourself. The trap doesn't kill instantly. It holds you long enough for joy to. The trap becomes the prison that keeps you from your blessing. I just said it. And once you with unforgiveness, you become both the prisoner and the guard. Somebody say, but. Somebody say, but God. But grace gives you a key. Y'all want to shout a little bit? I'm going to let you shout a little bit. Grace gives you a key. We don't have to remain trapped in offense. I mean, people have ever uprooted a tree. I mean, my God, every time we got 3 days worth of rainstorm, nature uproots a tree for us. The tree falls and the roots are exposed and they don't get any more water or sunlight. So the way to get rid of offense is to starve it. The way to do it is to uproot it. And the way to uproot it in the kingdom is to practice forgiveness. Giving the grace that you know that you need. And when you're able to give the mercy and grace that you need, you begin to receive that grace and mercy. And every time that you forgive somebody, boom, one root pops up for a bitterness. And another time you forgive, and boom, another. And before you know it, you can walk out of that prison of offense and walk into the blessing of God simply by giving and receiving grace. The same hand that built the wall can tear it down when you choose love over offense. That's the power of being better, not bitter. The Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife. Listen, love covers offenses. If you read in the King James, love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers offenses. It doesn't mean that it ignores them. It means that it acknowledges it, refuses to give entrapment. It will not have a place in my heart. It's the same way forgiveness does not necessarily equal access. I'm going to let you sit with that one for a minute. Forgiveness does not necessarily equal access. You can forgive them. And if they haven't grown up and matured, they don't have to have access to your life circle. The Holy Spirit said, there's a whole lot of people in my life that I've forgiven that will never what I call my inner circle again. Not that that's special. That's not what I mean. There's nobody here that I know of that's in that. But I've had those people, and I've forgiven them. Lord, I forgive them, and I release them from it. And I also release them from having access to my heart anymore because they've not grown up enough. So I forgive them, and I let them be on their own. Yeah. Hate stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Love doesn't deny what happens. It refuses to weaponize it. Not going to weaponize it. This happened to me. He said this. He did this. She said this. She did this. I acknowledge it. I refuse to give it a place of preeminence in my heart. Because if I give it a place of preeminence in my heart, it's going to turn to bitterness. Then it's going to be a resentment, then bitterness. And then before you know it, I'm entrapped. So I acknowledge it. I see it for what it is, but I will not take the bait. And most of the time, the people that are doing it are not, they don't know that they're setting the trap. It's the enemy that's in their ignorance or their oblivion to trap you. Love doesn't deny what happens. It refuses to weaponize it. Hatred stirs, love covers. Here's Proverbs 17:9. He who covers an offense promotes love. That's good, man. This is just practical. He who covers offense promotes love. I guarantee you I could take every one of you today and I could tell you a story within 5 minutes and I could make you angry at any person in the church that I wanted to make you angry at. And you probably could do the same. I feel like somebody's humming. Am I hearing that? I'm shocked. It's Barbie. To cover an offense is not to hide sin. Instead, it's unity. Is that a baby? That is the sweetest thing. What baby is that? I hear, it sounds like they're singing the thing, the whoa, whoa. Sing it, baby. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with one another and forgive one another, even as Christ forgave you. Forgiveness is not optional. It's the culture of the kingdom. I told you last week, remember, if you want to live in total peace and the fullness of joy at all times, here's the easy. There actually is a formula for this. It's not easy to apply it, but it's easy to hear it. Forgive everybody for everything all the time. And I'm telling you, that will absolutely test your spiritual maturity. Forgive everybody. I mean, I so that you know that I live like you live. I was in my car this week, and it wasn't a driving incident. I had that too, but and I had to rehearse to myself, Joshua, forgive everybody of everything all the time. Forgive everybody of everything all the time. Love as Jesus loved. Forgive as Jesus forgave. Mercy as Jesus extended mercy. Extend, and it's not easy, especially when people have used you and talked about you and ridiculed you and done all the stuff that they do. People be peopling. We're going to get the shirts made. People be peopling. I wanted to look nice today because I figure if I look a little bit nicer, maybe you'll hear me a little better. If I preach the same message with jeans and a t-shirt, you'd be like, well, I knew he was a heathen from the start. Forgiveness is not optional. It's the culture of the kingdom. And if you want to live in total peace and total love and joy, forgive everybody, everything all the time. The same grace that saved you demands that you Jesus prayed it. Forgive us our debts as we have you ever thought? It doesn't just period. That would make it easy. It's like, okay, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. He looked, okay, I'm going to forgive you in the same way that you forgive others. You will always receive the exact same measure of forgiveness that you're willing to offer others. Don't miss this. You will always receive the exact same measure of grace and mercy that you're willing to extend to others. Well, I don't believe that scripture. That's because you're not a Bible reader. Jesus even looked at his disciples and they said, whosoever sins you remit, they'll be remitted, and whosoever sins you retain will be retained. That's not talking about sin that's going to cast somebody in hell and not go to... That's not what he's talking about. He's, if someone sinned against you and you retain that sin, then the sin remains with them. But if you remit it, if you do away with it, I'll forgive. It's forgiven. Consider it forgiven. He's actually encouraging his disciples to forgive sin, to forgive offense, and to move on. Because the same measure of mercy that I give is the same measure of mercy that I receive. Almost finished. Say thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense, Lord... Just can we all just pray to heaven? Lord, give us some good sense again. I think common sense has been lost on our generation. I hate to say it, I do. I mean, things that just used to make normal sense. Like, no, you're a human. You're not a puppy. And I'm not talking about 3- and 5-year-olds. I'm talking about that have been lied to. No, you're not a cat. You don't get a litter box at school. Get up off the ground. Get in here and learn what you're supposed to learn. That's, to me, that's common sense. I can't believe that this is a thing. The people have become so offended that they're just dumb. And the enemy preys on those people. It would be funny if it wasn't true, but it's true. Those people need love too. Those people need support. They need help. They clearly need help. Almost finished. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Proverbs 19:11, this is the New King James Version. Good sense will make you slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. The verse reveals the law of the Spirit. Spiritual maturity is measured by how quickly you forgive. It doesn't take long to realize how spiritually immature most Christians are these days. The mature are slow to anger and quick to release it. The immature are quick to anger and slow to forgive. Period. That is the marker. That is the measuring stick. If you're spiritually mature... going to try to offend you, they can't offend you because you've got, my eyes are set on the prize. Like I've got that prize, I'm reaching for the prize, the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I won't let you offend me. I'll recognize what you're trying to do, and God bless you, I free you from it, because when I free you from it, I free me from it. I'm pressing towards something. And the spiritually immature will trip over, because sometimes offense is called a stumbling block, will trip over every opportunity to be offended, and their walk is a stumbling block. Others, because they're offended by every little thing that's ever happened. Those who live unoffended will also live unshaken. Those who choose love over offense will choose to be better, not bitter. Almost finished. I know I've said that 3 times now. This time I mean it. Somebody say amen. Offense is spiritual misalignment, simply. It convinces you that your pain deserves protection instead of allowing healing. We build up walls around our hearts, so we don't allow the healing to come. And we think that we're doing, we think this is self-preservation. We think that it's self-preservation. No, I won't let them in again. I won't let them in again. And because they hurt me, maybe this one hurt me, so I won't let them either. And I'm going to build a wall here. And since this one hurt me and that one hurt me, this one might, so I'm going to build a wall here. And before you know it, you've been... yourself again, not allowing the spirit of forgiveness to flow from you so the spirit of offense can, or forgiveness can flow to you. It convinces you that your pain deserves protection instead of allowing healing. Don't miss this one. Offense teaches you to interpret correction as rejection and accountability as attack. I'm going to say it again. Offense teaches you to interpret correction as rejection and accountability as attack. When my children were little, and they'll tell you this, when my children were little, believe me, they were often in trouble. None more easily and often as Isaac Slade. Isaac, come help me out. Isaac shared his very first sermon the Lord gave him about 6 months ago up here. Or was it? Was that right? Or is it your second?
Year and a half.
Oh, it's been a year and a half so far. And he talked about when he was little, Isaac got... Now, Isaac was mischievous in a funny kind of way, but it ain't funny in the moment. I'm going to wear that high in and out in the moment. Now, if you don't believe in that, that's fine. That's between you and God. I don't care how you discipline your children. We did it. My dad taught me we put some amazing grace in the bottom place, and that always worked for me. And if you don't, I promise you, I'm not judging. I believe in positive reinforcement, too. I'm for all stuff. But correction, children actually need boundaries, believe it or not. They long for that. And if you give it to them, ultimately, they'll thank you for that. And in the moment that I would correct Isaac, whether it was with a spanking or him having a ride, or once when he and David, we should have brought the video. He and David were always, because they're only 11 months apart, they were just always kind of going at it. And it was the spirit of competition that in some ways it was my fault because I'm like, you know, Isaac, get out there and play basketball. And David, you can be good as Isaac. And Isaac, go smash your little brother. And David, come on, you're David versus Goliath and all that stuff. And before you know it, inevitably they're going to fight. And they would just fight and argue. So one night, I set a timer on the table. Elizabeth did what they called night breakfast, which is breakfast foods for supper. Our kids affectionately called it night breakfast. And they were sitting at the table, and David's about this, probably about this tall. That sounded about right. And they're sitting at the table, and I set a timer, and I said, okay, Isaac, you're going to feed David. And David, you're going to feed Isaac. The whole time, David, we just need to reenact it. Come help me, David. How many thinks David should have to help me reenact this? Come on. You think David should? Hurry up, David. So we had night breakfast, I've got a video, and I'll show the video if I need to. I'll pull it up on my phone. It won't take long. And it was on a timer, so you're not going to take all night to do this. I said, all right, David, feed Isaac. And so I've got the timer going on the microwave, and it gets to 30 seconds. The funniest thing of the whole night, Jason is this big. And Jason can barely count, but he starts 30, 29, 28. I mean, he can't. He's ready to see some action. Jason wants to see some hind ends get tore up. Boom. 10, 9, 8. It's in the video. It's hilarious. And David's got the toast, and he's holding it over to Isaac's mouth. And I eat Isaac, and Isaac just goes, feed him a little bit, David. Just read it. Here, I tell you what, Indian style, crisscross applesauce, both of you, real quick. Do it for me. You'll love this because that didn't work on them because they still were mad they had to feed each other. Face him, Isaac. So I made them face each other and I made the patty cake for me. Boom, boom. Come on, do it. You're making it. And in the video, I'm going, come on, boys. I want a gold medal in hand clap for the Bunton family. You got to go. And they're going, because they couldn't get along. You good to go. Sit down. Stay here. You stay with me. When he got older, he realized, you know, Dad could have taken us in the back and wore us out and probably done more damage than good. But I taught him a valuable lesson. If you're always going to call your brother your enemy, I'm going to force you guys to love each other. You're going to feed your enemy. What did Jesus say? Well, he that would be the greatest, you're going to be the servant. I will teach him. No, if you want to be, this is your enemy now, you get to feed him. This is your enemy now. Feed him, and they hated it. Now they understand, at least somewhat, the psychology behind it. It's like, I want to teach them that there's better ways to do this. Correction is not rejection. Correction is not rejection. And sometimes, even in life, we need a course correction. It's not God rejecting us. It's him trying to call us up to another dimension of his glory, another dimension of favor, to another dimension of blessing. And sit at the table that is spread, but you can't get there if you always misinterpret his corrections as rejections or accountability as attack. True discernment flows from peace, not from pain. Offense will distort your vision until every prophet sounds personal and every sermon sounds pointed. I've had a meet in this church in the last 6 weeks in dark corners. Well, he must have been talking about me today. Let me tell you something. I've got enough subject material. I don't need to pick on you or pick you out. But I can also tell you this. If I do say something that might step on your toes a little bit, I'm trying to help you. If I wanted to hurt you, believe me, I promise you, I can hold my own on Facebook. I can hold my own verbally. I know how to give attacks. It's not a bragging thing, but I know how to do that. Probably can do it better than most. If I wanted to hurt you, I probably could. I could isolate you. I could turn 5,000 people against you in an instant. It wouldn't hurt me very much. And I'm very believable. If I happened to preach something today, last week, the last 6 weeks, there's not a single one of you that I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get that one in my sermon today. It's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. It is looking through the lens of offense and seeing every correction and rejection, seeing every prophetic word or every point that I make as being pointed at somebody. I'm not pointed at anybody. If this happens to come to you, what you should say is, thank you, Jesus, that by your spirit you thought enough of me to help bring correction to my life so that I can move and walk and live in victory and in blessing instead of entrapping myself just because of offense. Almost finished. Of course, they wouldn't dare come and ask me directly. I'd help them. I have. I can prove it. I have life proof that if they ask me for help, I'm there in an instant. And I will. I don't get blessed. I don't need to win the argument with you for me to feel, you know, whatever, for me to feel like a valuable person. My value doesn't come from whether or not I win one over on you. My value comes from knowing that I'm his son and that you're his daughters. And I'm trying my best to get you to see that. And if you see that, then it's, oh man, he's trying to help me. Now, this is what Clarice Lewis said. Don't take my spirit apart from my words. Almost finished. I think I've said that 4 times. Good Lord. Offense will distort your vision until every prophet sounds personal and every sermon sounds pointed. The part of me helping them would be to put a big fat mirror right in front of them so they could see that their offense is keeping them from his blessing. Because every time I take this platform, I'm trying to help people get free, not enslave them. Almost finished. Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. We might get to that next week. Even his miracles offended people. The offended saw blasphemy where the broken saw breakthrough. God. The offended saw blasphemy by the same miracles where the broken saw breakthrough. And I'll say it like Sidney Smith, our prophet, used to say, it gets better or worse depending on your perspective. It does nothing about the subject matter changes. It's the way that you view it. If you view it as, I mean, you might as well just set myself out in front of everybody. He just talked about himself. All you're doing is rooting yourself. You ain't hurting nobody but you and those that you have influence over. You're just rooting yourself down and trapping yourself further in offense. That's because offense warps perception. It makes us think everyone is out to get us. An unhealed trauma that becomes bitterness and it ultimately traps us behind the walls of offense, and it will always lead to more pain. So ask yourself, what if the miracle I need is hidden behind someone that I'm currently offended with? What if the answer to the prayer that I've been praying God for weeks or days or months or years is it hidden within the treasure in somebody else's heart with whom I've got offense or I've caused offense? I've seen it. Choosing forgiveness might be the very act that unlocks your next blessing. Jesus said, Father, you know this, he's on the cross, Father, if anybody had a right to be offended, if anybody, it's Jesus who did no wrong, who knew no sin, who was made sin for us that we might become, and they beat him and they spit on him. I mean, they mocked him. They made fun of Mary. If you heard the words that they said about her, about his mother and what they said about him, what they did, he had to, but in all of that, he knew, I will not take this trap because if I take the trap of offense, just in about several hours, I'm going to have to go into the underworld and I'm going to have to preach some people free and I'm going to have to take back some keys. And if Jesus had taken the trap, the bait, one time, he couldn't have. But because he didn't take the trap, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He gave himself access to that place where all things, good God. Forgiveness is not weakness, it's warfare. On the cross, Jesus disarmed hell's favorite weapon of offense. He forgave before they apologized, and he loved while they were still hurting him. Every time you forgive, you break hell's jurisdiction over your emotions. Every time you forgive, you break hell's jurisdiction over your emotions. I forgive. I won't be offended. I forgive. I love. I give mercy. I give grace. I forgive. I love. I give mercy. And before you know it, you're walking in forgiveness and you're exuding forgiveness and you're receiving the blessing of God upon your life because you refuse to disqualify yourself from the blessing being rooted down in bitterness and the trap of offense. Let's all stand. Forgiveness doesn't excuse the wrong. It just removes the poison. It's not saying they were right. It's saying, I'm free from this. You can't carry both glory and a grudge. One will make you better. The other will make you bitter. I've still got 4 or 5 pages. I'm not going to try to get to that. I don't want you to be here that much longer. Choose freedom over fury. Restoration over resentment. Choose better, not bitter. As you release, listen to me, in this moment, as you release the names, the memories, the moments, you're going to step out from offense. And on the other side of the fence is the table of abundance. The meal's not cold and God's kept it warm for your return. So say this with me. Father, I release every weight of offense. If you're watching me on Facebook Live right now, I want you to say it in your home. I want you to say it out loud. Or YouTube, wherever you're watching, I want you to say it out loud. Because the Spirit knows no time. Time is in God. God's not in time. It's just as powerful if you watch this next week, next month, or 10 years from now. After the Lord has... Father, I release every weight of offense. I choose love over hatred. I choose peace over pride. And I choose healing over hurt. I choose to be better. I refuse to be bitter. Come on, now picture yourself walking around that fence and sitting at the table that God's prepared for you. Only the unoffended can sit and enjoy it. Offense is inevitable, prince optional. People will hurt you, life will bruise you, but decide whether that bruise becomes a scar or an infection. You can let what happened to you make you bitter, or you can let it make you better. We're going to choose to make it better because we're going to walk and live and move in forgiveness. Father, I thank you right now for the words. I thank you that you're such a good Father that you bring correction where correction is needed. And we will not label your correction as rejection. But we receive it, Father. Even the Scripture says that you chastise those that you love. I know every time that I chastise my children, I was always trying to put them back on the right path and teach them the lesson to not do those things. And I believe if I can do that, being an earthly father, so much more is our heavenly Father trying to not hurt us, but to help us and to help uproot roots of bitterness, Lord, that were resentment because of hurt and pain and ultimately because of trauma and offense. So, Father, in this moment, we release all of it in Jesus' name. I know for some people, in fact, for some of you that are feeling this right now, feeling in your heart that this is something you need to release, come on down to the front with me. Let's just pray together. Could we? Could we? Maybe you're offended at church. Maybe you've not been to church in 10, 20, 30, 40 years. I don't know. Because something that was said, done, or made you afraid or offended you. Come down to the front. Let's believe together. Father, I thank you right now in Jesus' name that you're healing us all from the spirit or the entrap of offense. Lord, we don't deny the things that they said, did, or whatever hurt us, but we refuse to allow our emotions to be dictated by the enemy. So in this moment, Lord, and this is hard for some people, forgiveness is not easy. It's necessary. Wasn't easy for Jesus to say, Father, forgive them. It's what was necessary. So, Father, in this moment, that thing, and you know what that thing is, call out the names in your mind. Call out that event in your mind right now. Call it up and say, Father, right now, I release it. Once and for all, I release it from my life. I release it from my heart. I release it from my mind, from my emotions. It will not have a place in my emotions any longer. I release it now. Lord, give me to see as you see. Help me to have heavenly perspective and not take the bait of offense. It's going to be offered again this week, Lord, and I'm praying that you give me the grace and mercy and remind me of this moment right here where I said, no, it's forgiven. So that we can live and move and walk in freedom and not be bound by the trap of offense. Father, and I pray that the oil of gladness would be poured into those deep, dark crevices of pain and trauma, Lord, that have caused many people to not be able to hear your voice, that have kept so many from sitting and eating and dining at your table which is full and abundant. Let that oil go into those places and bring healing. We release it now. Thank you for your Holy Spirit empowering us to mature into the things of God, to release those things that have hurt us, to forgive as we have been forgiven, to love as we have been loved. And we'll give you the praise for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Let's put our hands together to the Lord. God bless.